I was saying I'm not a Facebook person at all, not to say very. I'm not a Facebook person at all. I don't, you know, look at Facebook, don't check Facebook. Once in a while, when I've nothing better to do, I open it up and I, you know, do this. Sometimes even before the picture load, I go already. It was it yesterday or the day before? Some of my friends were saying, get ready to be bombarded by Valentine notices. Okay, one of those messages on Facebook. So my guess is, I don't know, I haven't seen. My guess is yesterday, today, a lot of Valentine messages all over Facebook. Some of you nodding already, all over Facebook and you know, coming out from your friends. Today is Valentine's Day, you know, I don't know how many of you think that is important. But as we think about Valentine or the world, how the world sees Valentine's Day, it's assumed that love is in the air. People send cards, people send flowers. Nowadays, people don't send cards anymore. They send, you know, Facebook pictures. people don't send flowers anymore. They send virtual flowers. Save money, right? Okay. As I thought about, okay, love, I thought the Lord brought to mind two passages of scripture that talks about love. And we're going to think about that a little bit. The first, obviously, is John chapter 3 and verse 16. All right, some of us know this in memory already. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved that he gave." He loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The second scripture that the Lord brought to mind is John chapter 15 and verse 13, which says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Love causes, or rather, one of the aspects of love is that there must be giving. There is a sacrifice in this whole area of love. Today, I want us to look at the three areas that will challenge us. And when we think about how God sees love and what God's love is to us. And I want to read from John chapter 15. Now, we know this passage pretty well, I think. The first part of it at least. But I want to read from verse 9, John chapter 15 and verse 9. "As the Father has loved me," this is Jesus speaking, "as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." The earlier passage, the couple of verses earlier, the first 8 verses, talks about Jesus being the vine. All right? And we are to remain in him. And here, verse 9 says, "Remain in my love." Verse 10, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This passage talks, it's a passage that has to do with Christ commanding his disciples to love to remain in Him. And the first challenge I want to give each one of us is this, to think about love as a command. Jesus commands us to remain in Him. If you obey, verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. And He goes on to say in verse 11, why do you want to do that? So that, He says, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, a lot of times we go to the end without one, we want the end without the process. How many of us are like that? Yeah, smile. You know what I'm talking about? You want to walk, wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, come out, your bed already made one. Don't want to go through the process. Just. Then you go downstairs, breakfast already ready. A lot of us find it a challenge. And some of us, don't even want to go through that process that God constantly challenges us to go through, You read this passage and you go straight to verse 11, and it talks about, the joy of Christ being in us and our joy being complete. Great stuff, right? Who wants that? Yeah. All of us, I believe without any exception, unless, something wrong, want to have complete joy in our lives. We want to go around, move around and say that, hey, the joy of the Lord is in me and there's complete joy in my life. But then you can't do that without reading the verses that come before that. Verse 9, verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Now, in order to remain in God's love, we've got to obey His commands. Right? Okay. Now, heart beating a little bit faster already. Not because of love. Scary now. Okay? The heart beating a little bit faster. Why? Because if we want to remain in God's love, Jesus says, you've got to obey. And then He goes on to say that just as I've obeyed the Father's commands, all right, this is Jesus saying, and remain in His love, I've told you this so that. I'm telling you this, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this to obey so that you remain in His love. Why? So that your joy can be complete. And then He says, goes on in verse 12, He says, my command is this. Now, today I like to think about a couple of things. The first thing is this. When we talk about love, when we talk about God's love, when we talk about receiving God's love, when we talk about, experiencing the fullness of God's joy in our life, we have to pause and ask ourselves this question. Have we gone through the process? Have we sought to obey His command? Have we sought to obey His command? It goes on to say, verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, right? It talks about Himself laying His life for His friends. And then verse 14 says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus is now coming and saying, I'm going to call you friends. Why? Because I choose to make known What the Father has made known to me. I'm going to tell you everything. Servants don't know anything. Servants just do. Alright? But you look at this passage. Jesus is saying, you've got to obey. You've got to do it. But at the same time, Jesus is saying, I'm calling you friend because you know much more than a servant. The revelation of God is going to come upon each one of us. But he says, I call you friend if you do. Verse 14. As I was reading this passage, I'm reminded of that song which says, I'm a friend of God, right? And he's singing it all the time. I am a friend of God. Truth. He calls me friend. End result. Let's backtrack one step and say, verse 14 says, I call you friend if you obey or you do what I command. And so the first challenge is this, you know, where do we stand in obedience, in following the command of God? Now, I've read this passage many, many times. This week, I've read it over again, even more times. And I've paused to ask myself, so am I friend or not friend, God? He calls us friend, yes. But we've got to take one step back and say, have we been faithful in obeying His command? Have we been faithful? Jesus seeks to, wants to. In fact, He has chosen us. God has chosen us. The passage tells us later. He has chosen us. And He wants to give His revelation to us. Why? Because we are friends. Romans tells us that we are heirs with Him. We rule together with Him. And there is such a position, such an honor that is given to us. Jesus says, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. But then in the midst of all that, the question arises, have we been obedient to Him? Remain, how do we remain in His love? By obedience and following His command. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Then we'll come back to this, alright? John chapter 3, the other passage that the Lord brought to mind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. A light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. For God so loved that He gave. And then Jesus goes on to say, hey, you need to believe. You need to believe and you need to step into, walk into the light. Verse 19 says, the light has come, but men love darkness. Men love darkness. God love that He gave. When we love darkness, this passage says you hide. You hide. You don't step into the light because the light exposes your deeds. The light exposes who you are, what you're doing. And there is no surrender when you step and you continue to walk in darkness. When you step into the light, there's this whole idea of submission. Seeing what God is doing, understanding the truth, and submitting ourselves to Him. The second challenge I'd like to give each one of us as we think about love is this. Are we walking in the light? Do we love the light? Or like verse 14, it says, or rather verse 19, it says that men love darkness. When we love the light, good deeds will emerge. When we love the light, we then begin to understand that everything that we do is because, verse 21 says this, is because of what Jesus has done in us and through us. We love because He first loved us. Unless we begin to understand that we need to go through this process. Now these two things, obeying His commands and walking in the light are very much related, obviously. It's a process that we need to go through. Because walking in the light, understanding the truth, God reveals His truth one after another, little by little. As we begin to take one step, He reveals some more. As we begin to take another step, He reveals some more. The moment we step back, we see less and less and less of what He's doing. Most of us youth here, or if not, you've been camping at some point, right? I'm talking about the real camping, not go to hotel and camp one. Okay. you go out in the bush or the, you know, we don't have wilderness here. I was going to say wilderness, but, you know, we go out to the jungle and you set camp. And at night, two things happen. Okay. Or rather, there are two sources of light. One is the stars. You begin to appreciate the stars a whole lot more because you're in the middle of the jungle and there's no light. Right? But the other thing happens is, the other source of light is that, you know, you have your campfire or your hurricane lamp or, you know, something like that going on at your campsite. What happens is this. Many times, I don't know about you, but many times during camp or the times of camp, we would walk out into the darkness. We don't get to do that very often, right? You just walk there, sit down, look at the stars. Okay. And the thing is this. When you're done doing that, and you're ready to go back to your tent, sleep, whatever, you look back, and you focus on the light that's somewhere there. Normally, you keep the fire going, you light a hurricane lamp, you hang it somewhere. And that's your, I don't know about you lah. Nowadays, I think everybody use torchlight lah. Where's the tent? Maybe I'm old lah. You use hurricane lamp lah. No more ah. Do you know what a hurricane lamp is? Put a hurricane lamp in front of the, you know, entrance of the tent. And we just look at the light and walk towards it. Now, walking in the light, understanding the truth is somewhat like this. You know, there is a source of light, whether it's the hurricane lamp, campfire that's, you know, burning. And that's all you see in the distance. Light. But then as you walk towards it, you begin to see more and more and more and more. as you walk. God's truth and God's light is very much like that. He reveals to us what we need to know. And then we take one more step. In obedience, we see more. We take one more step. Now the sad thing is this. Very often, many of us are guilty of this. Me included. We take one step already, we don't like what we see. Then we take one step back. Sometimes we take three steps back. God's leading us towards His truth and what He wants to do with us. Why? Because He loves us. But we take one step, two steps, and then, oh no, God, is this really what You want? Is this what love really means? For God so loved that He gave His life. No greater love as this, that you give your life. Scary, right? Then we take three steps back. And then, John chapter 3, right, sheds a little bit more light to what we are doing. It says, men love darkness. How many of us, at some point of our life, love darkness more than light? Don't put up your hand. Why? Because we walk like that. After service, all of you walk like that. We live our lives walking like that. We walk backwards all the time. God asks us to walk forward, walk into the light, step into the light. Because He wants to love us, He wants to reveal. Oh, walk back. Scared. And that's the challenge I believe the Lord wants to give us as well this day. That we need to continue to walk forward, to walk in the light so that we can understand His love. But so that we can understand what He means when He says, I call you friend. Walk into that light. Walk into the truth. Let's go back to John chapter 15. This is my command. Verse 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. The third challenge is to love people. Love each other as I have loved you. And then you go down to verse 17. It says the same thing. This is my command. Love each other. This one very tough. Because all of us are made different, right? All of us grew up in different, environment, different circumstance. And the Bible says, Jesus says this, love each other. I mean, if it stops there, we find excuses. But He says, love each other as I have loved you, Now, how has God loved us? John chapter 3. Tells us He loved us that He gave everything. He sacrificed everything. In fact, He says this also in verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that He gave up His life for His friends. We can only understand that when we begin to do 1 and 2. When we begin to say, God, I want to remain in You. I want to obey Your commands so that I can understand what it is, so that I can remain in Your love. 2, walk in the light. Then only can we begin to love people. And if we are honest with ourselves, all of us here, me included, we cannot say, yeah, I can love everybody. Cannot. Tough, right? All guilty. Don't love everybody, Love as I have loved you. In other words, love to the extent that you are willing to sacrifice your life. And I believe that is a process that God will take us through. More and more and more as we obey His command, as we learn how to walk in the light, walk in His truth, as we learn how to remain in Him. So today, as we think about, you know, love, as love is in the air, you go everywhere, you know, it's pink hearts and red hearts and all that stuff, right? You have application on your smartphone, all the application also suddenly, you know, all the icon all got heart shape. Mine suddenly all changed. Love is in the air, as they say. But our challenge today is this: Lord, how am I remaining in your love? How can I understand your love a whole lot more today and tomorrow and the day after? Because as the saying goes, love changes everything, right? God's love, it is God's love that changes each one of us. And the more we understand it, the more we embrace in it, the more we decide to walk in obedience, to seek to go through that process, the more we become like Him. In the last couple of years as a Christian, the Lord has constantly been challenging me, because I grew up in a Christian environment, okay? Almost born in church kind of, you know, person. So from a very young age, go to Sunday school, know all the Bible stories, you know, as a youth grow up, and have been taught that our purpose is to glorify Him, to be more and more like Him, to live from glory to glory to glory, to be more like Jesus. We sing those songs all the time. As a kid, as a youth, we sing that, I want to be more like you. The last couple of years, the Lord has been challenging me. What does that mean? You want to be more like me? Well, what does that mean? And you have heard me say this, you want to be more like Jesus, learn to give. Because for God so loved the world that He gave. Unless we learn how to give, we cannot be more like Jesus. Unless we learn how to love, we cannot be more like Jesus. So perhaps the challenge for us is, maybe the last couple of years, we have been less and less like Jesus because we haven't loved more. Ouch. Perhaps in the last couple of years of our life, we have been less and less like Jesus because we haven't given more. Because we haven't sacrificed more. Because if we want to be more like Jesus, we got to learn how to give more, sacrifice more, obey more, abide more, and all that. And so, I want to close with this. Can the worship team come up? I want to close with this and say, today the challenge for us, for you, for myself, for us as a church, as we think about, you know, you go out of this place, love is in the air, that kind of thing. How much do we love? How much do we understand God's love for each one of us? Are we loving more because Jesus loved all? You know, are we becoming more and more like Jesus? Are we more of a friend of God today than we were yesterday because we obey His command? Are we more clearer as we walk into the light and into the truth, understanding what He has done for us, and understanding that all that we do is because of His power? Remain in my love. Verse 9 says that, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we pray that you'll search our hearts, even right now. Reveal to us once again what it means to remain in your love. What it means, Lord, to walk in obedience. What it means to walk in the light, Lord. To understand your truth. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for the times whereby we have taken one step into the light and so very quickly taken 2-3 steps back because we are afraid of what we see. Because we don't trust you enough. Forgive us, Lord. Father, we ask that you would teach us afresh what it means to love one another. To love one another as you have loved us. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you will help us to not take shortcuts, to sit back and understand what it means, Lord, that you love us. What it means to remain in that love. So, Father, I pray for every single person that is here right now, me included, that we would remain in your love. That we will seek to glorify you, God. That from this day forth, Father, faith, confidence, boldness will arise in us to learn of you more and more, to be in the light, to be fruitful, to bear much fruit, fruit that lasts, because we remain in your love. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.